Underworld, I'm John Batchelor with Emily de la Bruyere and Nathan Pekarsik of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Their new paper is about 1 year after the CHIPS Act was passed, the Chinese are accelerating, are enjoying the demand for chips worldwide, especially the Chinese companies that are on the Commerce Department's entity list. Entity list is don't do business with these people. They're bad actors. All right, Emily, we come to what is to be done. Your recommendation is that we motivate the private sector. Now, that's what the CHIPS Act is supposed to do. I see that CNBC says the checks haven't cleared yet. But is there resistance in the American market to building fabs in the Southwest or in Ohio? Are they running up against regulatory obstacles that can't be overcome?
These are great questions, and that's a great framing. The regulatory obstacles point is important. And for the U.S. really to develop semiconductor industry, but really any industry generally, it does need to lower regulatory hurdles, or we simply won't ever be able to compete with China, let alone any other country that takes industry seriously. But the other thing that has to be done is not only motivating companies, as is done with the CHIPS Act, but also holding them accountable for their protection of U.S. technology and their protection of the U.S. industrial base, especially as pertains to their interactions with China and Chinese players. And that can't mean saying mission accomplished because SMIC is on the entity list. And it can't mean simply listing Chinese players. It also means saying that advantages given to U.S. companies and allied companies, like with the CHIPS Act, depend on that company also not engaging with the Chinese market or Chinese players. And it means actually continuing to develop and to enforce defensive measures like entity listing and like export controls.
Are the Chinese threatening with their leverage, Emily? Is that happening now? If you don't do this, we won't provide that.
Absolutely. And it's happening now behind closed doors, company level. Like, China will put pressure on a U.S. company, for example, that depends on production in China or sales to China or technology from China, and usually in a way that's not publicly done. But this is even happening at the government level and very, very publicly. Just a couple of weeks ago, China imposed export restrictions on the key materials, including gallium, for semiconductors, in response to largely U.S. measures to compete in the field. And I mean, I raise that because A, it shows that China's using its leverage, and B, this is a really good example of China having leverage that's underappreciated in the international system. China dominates supply of key materials for semiconductors like gallium to the tune of 90%+ of the international market. And that's a stranglehold over all production that depends on them that isn't otherwise recognized. And it also risks extending and being expanded in other materials poised to define second and third generation semiconductors, because this is a really deliberate effort on China's part.
Nathan, one of your recommendations is to expand something called 889, which I looked up, didn't know it existed. The Federal Acquisition Regulation case prohibiting the purchase of covered telecommunications equipment and services from vendors. That's Huawei. So expanding 889 to include SMIC, to include these bad actors? Is that what you're recommending?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we've seen, but also should use this as an instructive case as well, that the actions taken against Huawei have had an impact and registered. But even Huawei, the actor that's been most singularly targeted by U.S. restrictions like the 889 authorities, has continued to thrive and flourish and is actively investing actually into the gallium, germanium, and indium phosphide that Emily was just citing as examples where the Chinese government's restricting exports. So Huawei is investing actively alongside the Chinese government and other Chinese industry leaders to further the stranglehold that China has over those raw materials. They're pursuing a really deliberate vertical integration strategy that touches these second and third generation semiconductor fields, where we're still sitting here twiddling our thumbs, thinking about and talking about fabs. But the 889 authorities would allow us, if expanded, to more actively jolt the key and most critical, say, military supply chains that right now ingest SMIC or CXMT or YMTC inputs. Even if they're not the most cutting edge, it's problematic for those things to be sitting in the production lines and supply chains for the arsenal that we might one day need to deter or hopefully not, but actually fight the Chinese, if our military supply chains depend on those inputs, that's a real problem for the credibility of our deterrence and warfighting capability. And that's where the 889 authorities overseeing federal procurement become, we think, a necessary low-hanging fruit to expand those to cover these other types of Chinese players that are problematic. But that should just be a signal. That shouldn't be a mission accomplished or, you know, end zone goal. That should be a signal to the broader market that there are real reputational, operational, and financial costs to doing business with these players.
Transparency, Emily, you recommend transparency. Who can enforce transparency on the Chinese chip makers?
I mean, this is where the SEC has a very real role to play, and one that can have probably outsized effect. And the SEC can have this effect both vis-a-vis Chinese companies that are trying to operate in the U.S. and vis-a-vis U.S. companies that themselves might have partnerships or other forms of cooperation with bad actor Chinese players, but that are able to either not disclose them or keep them from becoming issues of real reputational or regulatory risk. So the SEC should be enforcing greater transparency on everything from supply chain to investment and production information to, you know, actual financial investments.
Has that conversation started, Emily?
Not really, is the short answer. I don't think in the whole effort to mobilize the U.S. system to compete with China, I think that the SEC has been largely forgotten, and the potential to actually kick the market into gear by imposing transparency with respect to things that should be factored in as costs has not picked up steam.
Emily de la Briere and Nathan Pekarsik of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.